We live in a more dangerous world in 2025. The threat of anti-Semitism, as we have seen, is very real.
We're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of the lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct. I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Just like Israel, Australia does not have a right to exist!
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
So why aren't we addressing anything here? Why not here?
When you understand the Quran and you understand that it is a takeover manual of society in the phases.
They have also had the tremendous fortune to travel the world, and as part of that experience, to learn about the goodness and beauty of Islam, how it is practiced every day by well over a billion Muslims worldwide, a faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity. وهناك دراسة عربية في جامعة أمريكية.
The Prophet says, the first thing you do is call them to Islam. If they refuse, then tell them Allah obliged upon you to pay taxation. In return, when enemy comes and attack your country, you don't fight. We Muslims protect you.
In the battlefield, you're giving us jizya, and in exchange in jizya, what can happen is, if an outsider attacks you guys, we're going to protect you as well.
So that's how it works. The imam out of the Muslim Brotherhood is the military commander. And he tells you how to vote, and he does it all. And then if you don't flee the town they've taken over as a no-go zone, then they come and they tell you, give us money.
Do you think it's fair to kill me because I got the conclusions right or wrong?
If Sharia law states that, then it should be fair for me.
When you start seeing these imams just suddenly in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, in the U.S., everywhere, saying, okay, our numbers have hit 5, 6, 7% in this country, start killing the Christians and the Jews.
And so make jihad against them.
What is your duty as a member of the Ummah now that you are also an American? It is our physical jihad duty to fight the entire earth until we enter it into the Ummah.
To be honest, for us Muslims living in the West,
yes,
our jihad is to establish the deen of Allah through all means necessary.
We have had a tradition of toleration. These people are not tolerating us. So you don't tolerate us, we want you out of this country. Right? Because this country is fed up with your, oh, we must be nice to everybody. Well, I'm not particularly nice to people that crossed the border, invaded another country and murdered over 1,200 people.
And we just had Benny Thompson, ranking Democrat in the House.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist
attack. Wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can
respond. Shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Ms. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question?
You hate me,
yes,
for the sake of Allah.
I hate you for the sake of Allah.
All right.
I hate you for the sake of Allah. Every Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah. Any Jew, any Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah.
He hates me,
yes,
for the sake of Allah.
You hate these bosses and the other bosses.
Would you kill me if you get a chance?
If we're what, I would chop your head off.
Everyone was just running, and there were bullets, and there were so many of them, and we were really scared.
And then you've got the ultra-leftist police of Australia. I mean, you know, they're total globalists. It's all run by the World Economic Forum, just like Canada, just like the UK. It's the very same system. People are great. They have horrible, evil governments that just engage in mass fraud, theft of the elections. It's just,
it's where we're going to be. That is the latest from John Bound. Find and share that at band.videoinfowars.com. We have new footage out about the Bondi massacre. We'll show you that on the other side.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It is the 17th of December, 2025. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of video to show you. We'll be joined in the second hour by Carlin Borischenko. We're going to talk about what the communists have planned for us. We'll talk about some of the arrests that were made from the Turtle Island Liberation Front and get a breakdown as to what that group exactly is and whether we can expect more attempted terrorism from Antifa in the near future. Very excited to talk to her. I'll take your calls in the third hour. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 17th of December, 2025. Russia is a threat to the UK, and our sons and daughters must be ready to fight, Armed Forces Chief warns. It's kind of an uncomfortable way to phrase it. You mean the daughters that you've let be raped by the millions and the sons that you throw in jail for complaining about it? Yeah, I don't think Russia is the big concern, actually, right now. Making the case for a society-wide approach to defense and deterrence, Chief of Defense Staff Sir Richard Knighton said the situation is more dangerous than I had known in my career. My gosh, people who are not soldiers, sailors, or aviators to nevertheless invest their skills and money on building up national resilience. I'm sorry, I thought the nation state was a thing of the past. I thought we were moving more towards globalism. I thought the whole point of the EU was that it superseded the nation state. I thought you've spent the last several decades systematically eliminating nationalist impulses from your society, but now that you want to send everybody to die in a pointless war with Russia, you're trying to invoke nationalism again. Sure hope nobody's falling for this. Meanwhile, speaking of the UK and how they're genuinely not worth fighting for, Twitter user is jailed for 18 months for 2 anti-immigrant tweets made after Christmas market car attack. The tweets themselves were viewed just 33 times. In other words, the tweets themselves were less impactful than would have been if he'd stood up and said it at a bar. at a packed pub, he would have had a larger audience. He posted 2 anti-immigrant tweets that were viewed just 33 times. Luke Yarwood, 36, received an 18-month sentence after tweeting in the wake of a Christmas market attack in Magdeburg, Germany, in December 2024. His posts were reported to the police by Yarwood's own brother-in-law, who he did not get along with. And we got more stories like that out of the UK. It really is becoming unrecognizable. And there's more to tell about Europe later in the show. Meanwhile, Jack Smith tells House Committee about his team's investigations of Trump. Smith told lawmakers in closed-door interview Wednesday that his team of investigators developed proof beyond a reasonable doubt that President Donald Trump had criminally conspired over the results of the 2020 election, according to portions of his opening statement obtained by the Associated Press. My God. My God. And yet Trump got away with it. Incredible. Now, a few things I'll say about this. One, Jack Smith was never duly authorized to do any investigation in any of these cases, so
there's that. You would think it wouldn't matter until it comes to Alina Haba or Trump's attorney that he picked to go after James Comey, when all of a sudden the indictments are thrown out because they didn't go through the process, arguably, even though in the case of Trump, they actually did go through the appropriate process. Not so with Jack Smith. It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because the Democrats don't abide by laws. They just don't do that sort of thing. So they get to get away with it. But that would be one issue with Jack Smith being assigned to investigate this stuff. The other thing would be that he wasn't assigned to investigate a crime. He was assigned to investigate Donald Trump and to go after him in any number of crimes. Okay, that's another egregious violation of our system of law and order. But then on top of all of that is the fact that the 2020 election was stolen and Donald Trump trying to overturn the results could otherwise be rephrased as Donald Trump tried to get the accurate result of the election in 2020. So sort of depends on your view. If you see Donald Trump trying to change the results of an election, it kind of depends on whether the results of the election were accurate or valid or not. If they're not, then what he did by trying to change the results of the election was in fact trying to actually have a real election. Meanwhile, we have this. Dan Bongino clearing out his office ahead of FBI exit, according to the New York Times. Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino is reportedly clearing out his office ahead of an imminent departure from the Bureau and a potential return to the MAGA media circuit, the New York Times has reported. Bongino told his associates he could leave as soon as this week or as late as mid-January. People familiar with his plans told the Times on Wednesday he has not yet made a formal announcement. I don't even know what to make of this, to be honest with you. I mean, what is he going to do? He's going to go back to being a podcaster and saying all the stuff that he used to say, because that's sort of inconsistent with what he said as the deputy director. Is he going to come out and tell us what actually happened? Or has he been subject to like some insane brain wiping blackmail operation and he's just done for the rest of his life? Like, he's just gonna, I don't know. I honestly don't know what he's gonna do. I'm not sure what he's been doing. Seems like kind of a failed experiment of sorts. Finally, Donald Trump will be giving a primetime address tonight at 9 Eastern, 8 Central time. We don't actually know what it's about, but according to Tucker Carlson, Trump will announce war with Venezuela tonight. According to Tucker Carlson, a member of Congress told him that Congress was briefed yesterday that a war with Venezuela is coming and that it will be announced tonight. President Trump is due to give an address from the Oval Office at 9 p.m. Eastern. So, promises made, promises kept, right? We all remember on the campaign trail how Donald Trump would rail endlessly about the need to start another war, this time with Venezuela. And we all stood up and cheered and said, yes, war, that's what we want. That's why we voted for Donald Trump. Endless, senseless war on behalf of Israel. Please, Donald, do it for us. I mean, I'm honestly so torn about Trump. I cannot figure out what he's doing. I was watching Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, and you know, I think they're as on the money as anybody else is about like what the hell's happening with Donald Trump. I think, you know, Nick's interpretation of the fact that like he knows his poll numbers are going down, so he's trying to like use insults and, you know, things like that on online to try to gin up his base a little bit, and it's just not working. Doesn't have the right targets, you know, and it's kind of like, that was never the thing that we liked most about him. That was kind of like a cherry on top, was like, okay, he's got all these great policies, but also he can destroy people with a single, you know, funny tweet. It was always kind of like a cherry on top, but that wasn't the substance of why we like Trump. It seems like the substance is all gone. But then I still have this understanding that like Trump is not fully controlled. And I know he's not. I don't know where the line is drawn exactly, but how many times have we seen evidence, even just in this year, of the obvious contention between Donald Trump and the deep state, the powers that be. And like, he's not serving them endlessly, but he is serving them. And he hasn't completely given over all of our sovereignty to the unelected spy masters. But he's also doing a lot of what they want. So I really don't know what to make of it. And even yesterday, and I swear I didn't think I was going to go to these clips, but now that I'm mentioning them, we might have to pull them in. Because Donald Trump was at this Hanukkah lighting ceremony. And he's doing the thing that he does where it sounds like he's praising Israel. But it's also the type of thing that you say if you criticize Israel, right? He's giving these addresses where he's going, you know, Israel used to run things and now they don't run things as much anymore. And, you know, they should be in charge. And like, part of me is hearing it and it's like, you're not supposed to say this, right? You're not supposed to say Israel runs the country, even if you're saying it in a positive way. And just the way he phrases things, I'm like, is he messing with them? Like, what is actually happening here? I've done so much for Israel. I call them Christmas Hanukkah dinners. This is so embarrassing. It's the whole thing is weird. But then again, the whole thing with Israel in total is weird. I've heard the same sentiment from like 10 different people in the last few days. That's just like, are they trying to make us hate them? Like, why would you go so out of your way? Like, Randy Fine comes out and says we should ban all Muslims from America. And it's like, that's not a real policy. Right? That's just not possible at all. It's also obviously not something that you would say about any other group of people. And to me, the obvious comeback to that is let's ban all Jewish people. Right? You just take that, you go, okay, if you're willing to say this about this religion, can we say it about other religions? And then it's like, so he almost like sets you up. It's like, we should ban all Muslims. Of course, the response, knee-jerk reaction, well, okay, why don't we ban all Jews while we're at it? And then it becomes, oh my God, Congressman Randy Fine attacked an anti-Semitic tirade by a man who says that all Jews should be expelled from America. And it's like, is this a deliberate feedback loop? It seems like it is. I mean, it's hard to go this badly for this long. So I don't know what the psychological motivations of all these people are, but Trump, I understand, maybe least of all, why he would start a war with Venezuela. And maybe we'll see that during the presentation tonight. But if I was a father whose son was on an aircraft carrier right now, I would want a better reason for why my son's risking his life. I would want to know a little bit more context as to why my progeny may be eliminated on some godforsaken jungle in South America. Like, what is the actual purpose? What are we actually doing here? I don't think the reasons that we're actually doing things are the type of thing they want to tell everybody. Some Republican lawmakers call for mass expulsion of American Muslims. Comments from Randy Fine and Senator Tommy Tuberville reflect a brazen Islamophobic sentiment being voiced by some in the party. Again, it's like, you just can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't say stuff like that and then also be calling for, you know, brutal crackdowns on so-called anti-Semitism because people don't like what Israel's doing. Just very completely inconsistent. This was a video that went viral from the thing last night, clip number 5, Mark Levin to Donald Trump, celebrating him as our first Jewish president. Let's watch, I guess.
And I said, this is our first Jewish president. Yeah. Now he's the first Jewish president to serve two not consecutive presidencies. We thank you for everything.
That's right. Bad things happened on the second one. Namely, the election was rigged. Yeah. And we found out, and you see that happening. But
And you are the greatest president.
Thank you very much.
And God bless you. I miss you.
Wow, amazing. Incredible stuff. Our first Jewish president. I don't even know what that means anymore. Jewish is as Jewish does, I guess. Who knows? Whatever. We'll move on. We have a lot of stories to talk about today. And, you know, maybe I just need to, like, lay out all of them, like, just sort of go through the headlines, because I could spend an hour on all of these, but they all sort of point to the same unavoidable conclusion that just, like, the Western world is under complete concerted attack and nobody is doing absolutely anything to combat any of it. It's beyond infuriating. How about this, just from Europe? Paris cancels open-air concert at Champs-Élysées. How do you pronounce that? Champs-Élysées over security threat. The normally proud and defiant French are waving their white flag in the face of migrant terror. Paris has shockingly decided to dim the lights on its annual New Year's Eve fete along the iconic Champs-Élysées. Thank you, crew. The massive midnight concert that drew a jubilant crowd of 1 million people last year, with festivities having drawn throngs to the most beautiful avenue in the world for 6 decades, has been scrapped and replaced by a pre-recorded video to be viewed in the safety and comfort of French living rooms. And of course, if it's at all similar to the French production during the Olympics, then I imagine it'll be some sort of blasphemous abomination featuring a transgender demon in the place of Jesus. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But it just seems like the whole of French culture has been cannibalized, destroyed, and eliminated. In fact, there's some crazy stories about this. I didn't really intend to start on Europe, but while we're here, while we're at it, I got a bunch of crazy stories about it. And I didn't print it out, but if the crew can find the new stained glass windows that they're replacing in the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And it's just this incredibly ugly mural celebrating diversity, replacing these medieval works of art. It's just absolutely insane. And why they are doing this, I can't really tell. And, you know, we have the Bound video on the first five. Yeah, they literally turn the stained glass windows into murals about diversity. Now, I'm not going to tell you who donated the money for these murals, but it wouldn't surprise you. Now, I mean, so John Bound makes this report about Islam and the way they're taking over. And I think it was actually on Rex Jones's show, The Gray Area. He was interviewing my co-host on Moonbase Live, John from Lebanon. And they're talking about Muslims taking over. And John tells a funny story about a video out of Lebanon where it's a Sunni guy just on the street of Lebanon being interviewed. Sunni being the more radical Saudi Arabian aligned traditionalist, i.e. 7th century barbarian form of Islam. Anyway, they're interviewing him. And the guy interviewing goes, so would you ever want to have like an Islamic caliphate here in Lebanon? And the Sunni guy starts looking over his shoulder right away and going, no, I never said that. And I wouldn't say that. We don't want that. My friend John, like, see, it's so you can live with Muslims. You just have to keep them in their place, basically. Basically, you have to let them know you're not going to start a caliphate here. You're not going to be in charge here. And if you try to do that, the minute you start thinking about doing that, we're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. So, the Sunnis in Lebanon don't even try. They don't try to. They have their own neighborhoods. They have their own things they do. But Lebanon is this sort of triple entente. They have, you know, one main position in the government has to always be Christian. The other main position has to always be Shia. The other main position has to always be Sunni. That's the way it's set up because Lebanon has gone through a series of absolutely brutal civil wars that they don't want anything to do with anymore. So no side gets to dominate. There's a plurality. It's going to stay that way. And the minute one side, one faction starts wanting to take over another, they get crushed by the other factions. It's kind of just the mindset you need to have. And it's not like brutal or oppressive in the slightest. It's literally just saying, you can live here, you can be here, you can pray here, you can worship here. That's all fine. The minute that you think you're going to be in charge, we're going to brutally crush you. So fair warning, don't do that. Don't try to take over. Don't try to establish a caliphate. Don't try to impose your laws on the other people or we will crush you. And that's just how it needs to be treated. Same thing in Europe, same thing everywhere else. This would all be fine. I've talked, you know, Qatar. A lot of talk about Qatar. One thing doesn't get talked a lot about, their immigration policy. The population of the landmass of Qatar is 90% foreigner. 90% foreigner. You would think that would leave them in a position like the UK, but 10 times worse, right? With all the trouble in the UK, the percentage of people that are, you know, native Britons is still very high. So what? How is Qatar doing it? Well, they're doing it because they say you can come to Qatar, you can live here, you can work here, you can educate yourself here. You will never, ever, ever be a citizen of Qatar. It's just never going to happen. And while you're here, you have to benefit us. You have to help us. You have to build up our institutions. You have to bring in money or develop money or bring in investments, you know, through your economic activities. And if not, you're out. You can be here and you serve us. You can live here, but you play by our rules. And the minute that they don't want to play by the rules or they don't want to contribute or they want to live off the dole, you just kick them out. You just say, no, all right, never mind. We had an agreement. You broke it. We're done here. It's a very simple way to be. It's not rude. It's not anything. This is just how it is. But if you don't have the balls to actually impose that, to actually make good on the threats, then, you know, the people are just going to walk all over you. So in France, students are given exams that are, this is another one. It takes place in France, but it's actually just about internalized bias against men. Because apparently they did a test in France where they first hid the identity of people and then showed the sex. And it turns out people grade boys lower than girls. I'll find the article in just a second, but I don't even know how to describe it because it's so strange. There's almost an anti-inquisition going on right now in France where government surveyors are going around to Catholic schools to make sure they're not being too Catholic. It's very weird. I'll have to find the exact article. But like, it's not just that the European culture is fading away because the people are being replaced. People in charge of Europe are actively dismantling the culture on purpose. Yeah, there's the gender biases. No, I'll find the one about France here in the break, and then I'll keep talking about what's going on in Europe because it really is, like, deliberate. I mean, it's like you have to try to screw your people over this much. Here's another headline from UK. Illegal immigrants to the UK will now receive Gold Star NHS dental care, something that only a very small portion of actual Britons get to take advantage of. Foreign criminals and illegal migrants are now going to receive Gold Star NHS dental services, despite three quarters of UK adults not having access to similar treatments. So they're now actively providing the illegal immigrants benefits over and above what 75% of UK natives receive in government benefits. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that nice? We need a worldwide 1776. We need a worldwide awakening to throw off the chains of these governments, this global New World Order system that is really close to successfully snuffing out the European people as a whole. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at theolivestore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
One from Thomas Massey giving a address on the floor of Congress. The other from Donald Trump making a statement about Dan Bongino. So we'll go to those in just a second. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support absolutely everything that we do here, which will continue to be shape the paradigm. I remember back in 2017 or 18, there was an interview that Alex was doing with somebody for a documentary or something. He says, you know, we've shifted the paradigm, you know, three or four times already, you know, the latest being the Donald Trump paradigm shift. And, you know, it was almost like the mission has been successful, but we're not done yet. And it was almost this exhausted kind of like, I guess we'll have to shift the paradigm again and again, a couple more times. I just remember at the time thinking like, what more of a paradigm shift could there even be? I mean, everybody's awake to the New World Order. Everybody understands now. Donald Trump won. Is that not enough of a paradigm shift? And I had said, I think Alex is right. I think InfoWars has continued to be at the center of the ever-shifting paradigm that's getting us closer and closer, I think, to the truth about our world, who's pulling the strings, and what the purpose of all of it is. So I hope you can support this mission. I hope you can support this successful operation that we're running here by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Without you, we go away. With you, we continue to dominate and shift the paradigm over and over until we get it right one day. One day we'll get it right. Do we have those videos loaded in here? Let's go first to Thomas Massie. This is Thomas Massie on the floor of the Congress asking questions about the attacks on Venezuela. Here it is.
And let's take a moment to acknowledge the contradiction at the heart of this policy. This administration tells us that the Maduro regime is made up of narco-terrorists, and by escalating toward war, we would predictably create countless refugees. At the same time, this administration has moved to end temporary protected status for hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans and deports them back to the very regime it condemns. So which is it? Are we prepared to receive swarms of the 25 million Venezuelans who will likely become refugees and billions in American treasure that will be used to destroy and inevitably rebuild that nation? Do we want a miniature Afghanistan in the Western Hemisphere? If that cost is acceptable to this Congress, then we should vote on it as a voice of the people and in accordance with our Constitution. And yet today, here we aren't even voting on whether to declare war or authorize the use of military force. All we're voting on is a war powers resolution that strengthens the fabric of our republic by reasserting the plain and simple language in the Constitution that Congress must decide questions of war. I urge support for this resolution, and I yield back.
Gentleman Thomas.
Well, can't help but agree. I tend to think this is a mistake, and of course the rumor is that Donald Trump will be making that announcement, that we'll be going to full-fledged war with Venezuela for some reason. From Postmillennial, Trump surrounds Venezuela with Armada, declares Maduro regime foreign terrorist organization. Donald Trump has declared that Nicolas Maduro's regime in Venezuela is a foreign terrorist organization and said that Venezuela has been surrounded by the largest armada ever assembled in the history of South America. On Truth Social, Trump said Venezuela is completely surrounded by the largest armada ever assembled in the history of South America. It will only get bigger, and the shock to them will be like nothing they've ever seen before. Until such time as they return to the United States of America, all the oil, land, and other assets they've previously stole from us. The illegitimate Maduro regime is using oil from these stolen oil fields to finance themselves, drug terrorism, human trafficking, murder, and kidnapping. For the theft of our assets and many other reasons, including terrorism, drug smuggling, and human trafficking, the Venezuelan regime has been designated a foreign terrorist organization. So he's declared a complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers that going into or out of Venezuela. It's not compelling to me. Not particularly compelling to me, to be honest with you. They stole our oil. They had the temerity to put their country right on top of our oil. How dare they? They had the gall to live on the land over our oil. How dare they? They stole it from us. Like, what is he even talking about? I don't get it. Now, if you want to talk about narco-terrorism, I think we should be waging war on the streets of America against the people doing it to us here, not some sort of multi-step removed condemnation of Venezuela. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it for a single second. But okay. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, I guess, is on a tarmac somewhere, was asked about Dan Bongino quitting, and he had this to say. Let's watch. You have the Bongino clip?
Oh, Dan did a great job. I think he wants to go back to his show. Yeah, I do.
Okay, there you go. That's what we got from Trump. He did a great job, and now he wants to go back to his show. Okay. I guess you could say that. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. Nothing nothing makes any sense. I don't know what to tell you. But there we are. There we are. Like, usually when it comes to conspiracies, it's like, okay, the official story doesn't make sense. Here's the real reason. And you give the real reason, and it all clicks together. Right? in this case, in a lot of these cases, there doesn't seem to be a real reason. I can't figure it out. Unless you just assume that, I mean, and this really is where all of the like anti-Israel stuff goes. It really is a convenient thing to slap on any unknown when it comes to American foreign policy. And you're more likely than not going to be accurate. So, again, I'm looking for something else that makes this all click into place. When it comes to Venezuela, when it comes to Dan Bongino and the Epstein files, it's like you can look forever trying to speculate, okay, what's actually happening here? Who's actually involved? Or you can just kind of go, it's Israel. I mean, that's kind of the answer, right? Why are we going after Venezuela? Well, it's about narco-terrorism. Well, it's about fentanyl. Well, they don't actually ship fentanyl. Okay, it's about the fundraising. Actually, they are the real power behind the Mexican cartels. We don't need to go after the Mexican cartels. We have to go after Venezuela. But they stole our oil. But it's not about oil. And it's just like all of this. It's just like, okay, is it because Venezuela is allied with Iran? Is it because they provide money through their sale of oil to sanctioned entities in the Middle East that are fighting Israel? Is that makes sense? That kind of clicks all together. Right, this is just another front in the war. It's Lebanon and Gaza and Qatar and Jordan and Syria and Iran and Venezuela, right? Like it's in that mix because it is a supporter of Hezbollah helping to rebuild Lebanon after 2006. Like unless there's something else, I don't know. But that is like, oh, okay, click, right? It all just like slots into place. Like, oh, okay, makes sense. With Jeffrey Epstein, Trump is for it. He's against it. He's going to expose it. Actually, it's a Democrat hoax. The documents are on my desk. Actually, they've never existed. There is no client list, and he killed himself. Here's a video. Don't worry about the minute that's missing. And it's just like, okay, so it's Israel again, right? I mean, when they have no excuse, when they have no reason, when everything is convoluted, when they can't get their messaging right, it's because they're all avoiding the giant elephant in the room that's like, okay, this was an Israeli operation on American soil, hijacking American politics and industry and big tech, consolidated with all of these elite Israelis, many of whom are in the Trump administration as we speak, folks like Larry Ellison. I mean, when you have Jeffrey Epstein and Larry Ellison talking about introducing Tony Blair and Marco Rubio because they're both people that would serve the interest of the organization that Ehud Barak and Ellison and Dershowitz and Epstein were all a part of. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense. That all, yeah, okay, that makes sense now. Now all of this makes sense. That being said, there could be another possibility that makes sense. I can't identify it personally. And so, you know, people ask why it always goes back to that. It's like, well, because when you don't have a real answer, it's almost always an Israeli-shaped hole in the story. So, you know, that's who we're going to call out. It's very frustrating. We can't just be honest about all of this. All right, I want to get to more videos here. I always pull in so many videos, and I just rant the whole show. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is typical. This is typical of the left. Minnesota police chief uses religion to explain why he is not cooperating with the lawful authorities when it comes to immigration. Let's watch.
It's especially personal to me, having been raised a Catholic, to be in a Christian church this morning as we are approaching Christmas. And I cannot help but think of what is happening in our city today and how that echoes with how outsiders have been treated for thousands of years, how Mary and Joseph themselves were considered outsiders and forced to stay in a barn. That's what we're getting ready to commemorate as Christians around the world, while all of this fear is happening right here in our town. So my
I'm sorry, what? What the hell are you talking about? No, Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. We don't celebrate the fact that Joseph and Mary were forced to live in a barn. Like, I know it might just, it's like the way he's phrasing it, but like, it's kind of important. The story is not a story of, you know, beaten, battered down refugees that had to rely on the, you know, kindness of strangers. It was actually about people that were blessed by God and protected. Like, when somebody says, I was raised Catholic, that's saying something very different than saying, I am Catholic, right? The insinuation is, I was raised Catholic and I'm not anymore. So here's a guy who's not Christian, not Catholic, doesn't actually believe in this, but he's perfectly willing to distort and manipulate your religion to try to get you to do what he wants. The story of Mary and Joseph, like, this is the most basic thing about Christianity. It's like, you have these people that are like, I know all about Christianity. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And it's like, okay, but you think Mary and Joseph were running away from somebody? You think that they were fleeing persecution? That's not what happened. Actual Christians in America have spent the last 3 weeks reading the Advent story every night, like I do with my children, and it's pretty clear what happened. Mary and Joseph were recalled back to Bethlehem, where Joseph was originally from, to be counted in a census as ordered by Caesar. The fleeing that they have to do is after he's born, because King Herod finds out that there's a king, a rival for his throne, and he wants him killed, and so they chase out Jesus in particular because the authorities are hunting him as a baby, not because they were trying to expel everybody who was, you know, Jewish or whatever. It was Jews doing it. Herod was the king of the Jews at the time. Of course, he was a Roman puppet king, but I doubt this guy gets into any of this. Point of all of this is to say, what the hell are you doing? You're using the Christmas story to try to justify why you're not arresting criminals who are breaking our laws. What? What are you talking about? You misunderstand, misattribute the fundamental facts about the Christmas story as an effort to try to create sympathy for a bunch of foreigners that are here and just stole $8 billion from you. See, the real thing that should be taught is that Mary and Joseph were humble. They didn't even complain they were given a barn. They were happy for a warm place. Like, the story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem to give birth to Jesus is literally entirely about, like, trusting in God, having faith. They get to Bethlehem. It's overcrowded, so there's no room in the inn. So the guy offers the barn. And Mary's like, wonderful. Soft hay, my baby will love this. Like, not complaining, not bitching, not demanding, this is the Son of God. He deserves a queen bed. Like, anyway, it would just be nice if these, like, incredibly powerful religious, the iconography, the lessons of it, like, if we actually imbued it, if we actually understood it, maybe we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. But instead, all these very powerful stories, when told correctly, when actually told factually, are distorted to the point where it's like the Statue of Liberty, right? It's like the Statue of Liberty, the point of the Statue of Liberty, whole reason she's, you know, holding the torch up, facing out into the Atlantic Ocean, was because it was all about American liberty projecting out of America onto the rest of the world. Then some refugee comes along and pins a poem to the bottom of it. Now it's all about welcoming. Now it means the opposite of what it originally meant. And I guess it's our fault for not telling the original meaning, telling the original story successfully enough that people can be tricked by this. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating seeing a non-Christian falsely invoke Christianity to try to manipulate the emotions of Christians to get them to go along with their own destruction. It's actually kind of evil. It's actually like completely blasphemous and a mortal sin, but that's what they're into, I guess. And I guess since we're on the topic, actually, no, let's go back to, because I was talking about Britain before we had that breaking videos. Let me finish up just covering how utterly insane, and I'm including Canada in Europe. Really, when I talk about Europe, I'm talking about the European diaspora as well, but then I'm also not talking about all of Europe. I think you'll get what I'm saying, because you've got the Western European diaspora, Western European culture, and it is being utterly and completely destroyed. And then you have some places that have been able to resist the globo-homo infiltration, like Russia or Hungary, and they're doing the exact opposite of what everybody else is doing. But in Canada and the UK and everywhere else, you have things like this. Canadian father jailed for speaking out about trans-identified child. This set a terrible precedent for parents everywhere. A Canadian father, Robert Hoogland, was thrown into prison for trying to prevent his 14-year-old daughter from undergoing permanent medical transition after schools socially transitioned her behind his back and courts authorized testosterone injections against his wishes. The state stripped him of his parental rights when he refused to remain silent about the medical risk and the loss of his child. The government moved to silence him by force. Hoogland was sent to prison for contempt of court because he defied a gag order that forbade him from referring to his child as his daughter or using female pronouns. By treating his desperate plea to protect his child as a criminal act, the court signaled that the state, not the parent, owned the child. This is nothing less than the criminalization of parenthood in the face of state-sponsored gender ideology. So that's Canada, just one of the many aspects of truly inhuman horror that they perpetrate on their own citizens. Again, in the UK, illegal migrants to receive Gold Star NHS dental care, as well as dentist appointments, the foreign criminals and illegal migrants housed in these, you know, taxpayer-funded hotels, will also get GP access, general primary nursing care, out-of-hours pharmacy provision, and health promotion and prevention, including helping giving up smoking and therapy. Some 28% of adults in England, about 14 million people, are currently unable to access an NHS dentist at all, according to the British Dental Association. And according to YouGov data, as many as a quarter of the population say they cannot get a GP appointment when they need one. Up to a third say they can't get enough, can't get through to their practice, while 21% say they're not offered a timely appointment. So the people of England cannot even receive basic health care because their government-run system. And in response to this, government-run system is actually opening up more and better services for the illegal immigrants. Now, all illegal immigrants receive the Gold Star level of NHS dental care, which is only available to about 25% of the UK population as a whole. Cool. The shocking map of Britain that reveals the true scale of sex crimes by illegal migrants. It's the headline here at Daily Mail. Two teenage Afghan asylum seekers jailed for raping a 15-year-old British schoolgirl shocked the nation in recent days. But the attack by small boat migrants in a park in Lymington Spa also shone a spotlight on the increasing lawless state of our asylum system. The gang rape by two 17-year-olds was merely the latest in a long line of sex crimes committed by those migrants who have entered Britain illegally in ever-increasing numbers, often in small boats. And they've published maps of this. I mean, at a certain point, how many times are we going to be shocked and horrified? At a certain point, you have to stop being shocked and horrified. You have to start being outraged and violent, actually. Where we keep being shocked. We keep being blindsided by this constant pattern that repeats every single day. Still shocking, apparently. Meanwhile, a British court sentenced 18-year-old Martina Ogonoska to life in prison for stabbing her rapist in self-defense. The judge acknowledged she was raped, but held her liable for killing her attacker. Her sentence was later lowered to 17 years. Her innocence was lost, and now her youth has been snatched from her by a rotten legal system. So, you can only imagine defending yourself from a rapist, violently fighting off somebody trying to rape you, only to, in an act of desperation, end up stabbing them. And as you're laying there covered in blood with your attacker dying on the floor, you might have thought that the crisis was over. But no, no, it's just beginning. Actually just beginning. Because now here come the UK police to arrest you for defending yourself and throw you in jail for the rest of your life. I think the lesson is pretty clear. You should probably let him rape you. I mean, I think it's best for everybody if you just give him what he wants, right? That's what Canada tells you officially, so why not? And just to compare the law enforcement in UK, Twitter user is jailed for 18 months for two immigration anti-immigration tweets made after a Christmas market car attack. Those tweets were just viewed 33 times, 18 months in jail. Intoxicated Nigerian man who sexually assaulted teenager is spared jail due to his troubled background. As victim tells court, he ruined her life and she is now scared to walk alone. A year and a half in prison for tweets that 33 people saw versus no jail time at all for violently raping a girl to the extent that she has psychological trauma for life. 18-year-old woman kills rapist in self-defense with a knife, gets sentenced to life in prison. Two Afghan asylum seekers rape 15-year-old girl, gets sentenced to just 10 years in prison. UK is the literal definition of anarcho-tyranny. These are the stories about that, including the 15-year-olds. Here's the one I was talking about in France. New report raises alarm over inspection of Catholic schools in France. A new report published by the General Secretariat for Catholic Education in France has sent shockwaves through the country's educational landscape, reopening the debate over methods used in state oversight, possible ideological abuses, and their impact on educational freedom. Published on December 8th, the 14-page document widely cited in French press compiles testimonies from teachers, principals, and staff in Catholic schools under state contract who report having been subject to what Catholic education leaders describe as abusive, intrusive inspections carried out by officials from the Ministry of National Education. The report highlights that it does not challenge the principle of state oversight itself, but denounces the methods employed, methods that, according to Catholic leaders, risk undermining both the dignity of educators and the very identity of Catholic schools. The controversy erupted just a few months after the publication of the parliamentary report calling for increased oversight of Catholic institutions in the name of child protection. So basically they are, it's a reverse inquisition. They're going into Catholic schools and they're making sure that they're not actually promoting Catholic ideology because they consider that abusive, because it's in contradiction to the globo homo nihilist worldview of the NWO religion. We'll be right back.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheElShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there. Concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.